Well, how you doing? Zach Costin,
TJ Laramie,
Adam Henrique,
Joe Siddle, Megan
Augusta, Tyrone Crawford.
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
What up, everybody? Welcome back to the Wind City Sports Podcast. Windsor's only local sports podcast presented by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Going strong for over 5 years, Wind City Sports brings you interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and more in the sports world here in Windsor, Ontario. Available anywhere podcasts are found every Monday morning on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and again, anywhere podcasts are found directly on our windcitysports.com webpage. As well, we have a lot of social media to follow on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at WindCity_sports. So give us a follow, like, subscribe on whatever social media you might use, as well as the Wind City Sports YouTube channel. Give us a subscribe on there. A lot of exclusive content and previews from our podcast interviews and Zoom interviews and cool stuff like that. But today is Monday, November 29th, 2021. And it's episode 235 of Wind City Sports. The year is rolling on as we approach December this week. That's crazy to think. And the weather is really making us feel it for sure. So that means it's obviously full-blown hockey season. Once the snow has hit, we are used to it by now. And we're used to it after coming out of this pandemic. The Spitz games are back. Lots of sports are back. And we're going to open up talking about our Windsor Spitfires. Before I introduce our guest this week for the Wind City Sports Podcast, he's actually an Essex native, didn't play for our Spitfires, but played in the first ever inception year for the Essex 73s, Junior C team now. Him and his brother played together there, went on to the NHL and played together as well, one of the rare pairings of brothers playing on an NHL team together. Played in the NHL for the Bruins and a little bit for the Pittsburgh Penguins in the 80s. And from then, he went on to coaching in the 90s and early 2000s for quite the stretch along coaching career as well, mostly at the college level in the States and a little bit in the AHL for technically the team that he used to play for. Coming to you this week on the phone all the way from New Hampshire is originally Windsor's own Bruce Crowder on Wind City Sports. Probably haven't heard that name in a while. If you're an old school hockey fan, this is an old school hockey episode for sure. Old school hockey theme. Again, talking to a guy who played the game in the 80s for the league, and we do talk a little bit about how it's changed, and you know, obviously him coming from a different era, the way that he might look at it compared to his days. It's crazy to see these things, you know, and think that it would ever be possible to, you know, shift the culture like such. But anyway, that's something that's going on in every sport or entertainment aspect. It's the times are changing, you got to adapt as well. But anyway, we're going to talk to Bruce Crowder this week on Wind City Sports, and just a little bit we'll open up with talking about our Windsor Spitfires like we normally do, because although again sports are back and things are busy in Wind City yet again, not a lot of crazy big breaking news or anything this week. So let's open up with our Windsor Spitfires. And I actually got to go to they had a Wednesday night game last week against our rival London Knights, a tight game as well. But let's catch up with the entire week. We actually might be starting off with that game. Well, they actually played last Saturday against Flint at the WFCU. They actually did a home-and-home with them, playing the previous Saturday that we did talk about last week on the podcast. But last week, starting on Sunday, they had three games last week. Again, starting on Sunday, following playing in Flint the night before, the Spitz beat Flint 7-0 in their home barn, then welcomed them back here again last Sunday, where they were down 6-1, I believe, in the game, and then they ended up coming back, sending it to overtime, winning the whole thing 7-6. So a huge come from behind win there. Following that on Wednesday, they had the Knights in town. Number one team in their division, second ranked in the CHL, and we're putting up a great fight for them, or to them, you know. First two periods were done, and we were tied at two early in the third. Things changed, and London really took over, ended up being a 5-2 final. But again, some close matchups back and forth with the number one team in their division. Following that on Friday, they had another game, this time again at home, welcoming in the Saginaw spirit and losing 6-5. That's the final game. And then last night they played in Saginaw. They did a home and home over the weekend and lost 6-5 again, this time in overtime. So gaining a point in the last game there. So just getting you caught up with our Spitfires. They actually dropped a place in the standings and now sitting in 8th place with a record of 8-8-3. Coming up this week, we have our Thursday night game back at the WFCU Center, welcoming in the Erie Otters at 7:30. Back-to-back games as they play in Sarnia on Friday night at 7:05, and then they'll be back next week at the WFCU for another special Wednesday night game. Spitz had a good Black Friday sale on Friday, so I hope you guys got into that. I hope everyone got some good deals, and still going today. Who knows what they might have for Monday, Cyber Monday. But speaking of deals, I want to tell you about Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, they're proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, and LaSalle areas. And the end of the year is approaching, the holidays are approaching, and the holiday countdown event is on now. Reserve yours today. And they help you with everything down there at Amherstburg Chevy. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. It's almost new car season, so if you're looking for a new vehicle, be sure to check out Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you. Be sure to check out AmherstburgGM.com too to view their entire showroom. Be sure to keep an eye on our Facebook, Twitter page, and Instagram page as well. If they got some good Cyber Monday deals running for you, we will be promoting those as well, of course. But without further ado, I think it's time we get into our interview for this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast, talking to a Boston Bruins legend, Essex native, former Essex 73, who was around for the beginning of those days as well, beginning of that organization. Without further ado, here we go with Bruce Crowder. Here we go. So, born and raised in the Windsor area is this former Essex 73. He's also a graduate of the University of New Hampshire. And out of there, he was drafted to the Philadelphia Flyers, played 243 games in the NHL for the Bruins and the Pittsburgh Penguins. Bruce Crowder, welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, man. So what's going on nowadays? What's keeping you busy?
Well, I'm I'm just trying to ease into this retirement thing more than anything, trying to find a way to keep myself busy. I mean, I'm one of those guys that just a little jack of all trades. I'll try anything, build stuff, electrical, and, you know, so there's always a project that my wife ends up having me do. So it's kind of keep me working pretty good. She's actually still probably a year or two away from retiring. So, I mean, I do a lot of skiing in the winter, and I have a place on a lake up in New Hampshire that gets a lot of my attention in the summertime. So, yeah. We're just, right now it's raking leaves. I probably got about 50 full mature oak trees on my property that tends to keep me busy this time.
Yeah, there's always something to do around the house. So I guess no hockey though, eh? Not really doing much in hockey anymore?
Not really. I mean, I do a lot of stuff with the Bruin alumni. Yeah. I do a lot of charity games and things of that nature. So, I mean, I've actually got two this weekend. For different charities on Saturday and Sunday, and I've been asked to help, and I've done this the last two or three years in the state of New Hampshire. They have what they call the Battle of the Badges, so it's the police against the fire department. So I've actually helped out with the fire department, just kind of being an assistant coach in the background the last two or three years. So okay. But that's pretty much the extent of the hockey.
Yeah, I figure at the very least, like you said, keeping involved with the Bruins alumni organization. But I mean, it's been a long road. I mean, to this point, let's talk about the beginning. I mean, grew up out in Essex, right?
Yeah, I was an Essex, Ontario boy. So graduated high school in '75, and I mean, it was a great place to grow up. I mean, I've always said that. I mean, there was a lot of very good athletes
oh, yeah.
that were around at that time. mean, one was in the same bedroom as me, Keith. But you know, when you look at in the Mark Millers, who, you know, was a captain of the Michigan hockey team way back when, him and I, he was my left winger growing up all the way through hockey, and there's another guy named Alan Plimer, so it was a good athlete. And you know, it was, I think it really helped. And we were back in the days where we were always doing stuff. I mean, we were playing baseball and we were always playing hockey, and everybody in the neighborhood came out. And so it, I think that's one of the things that kind of helped me athletically, that I just happened to be in a great neighborhood with a lot of other great athletes.
Yeah, that's where it all starts. And I was going to say, it must have been fun growing up those times with you and your brother running around playing hockey, and as you mentioned, all kinds of sports too.
Yeah, we were basically a two sport family, because I mean back then, I mean, you basically had baseball and hockey. I mean, I played a little basketball in high school, but it didn't seem to have what the kids have now with lacrosse and soccer, and I mean, those weren't even, you know, around for us to even try that. I mean, I think Essex put a tennis court in, you know, when I was probably about 15 or 16, so, but I never really got into that sport. But, I mean, it was, it kept us going, you know, all four seasons, and it was good. In the old Essex Arena, you know, that was kind of a place that everybody met, and, you know, whether it was just public skating, or whether it was hockey games, or whether it was roller skating in the summertime, I mean, that was the focal point of the town.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely changed probably a lot since you last been around, but again, just a lot of good amenities out there. And, you know, you and your brother got to play together for the 73s too, that last year at least. Do you remember those times well?
Yeah, I mean, I was one of the original 73s. I mean, back in the day, they decided that the town fathers, or the people in charge of the hockey, decided that we should put a junior C team in Essex. And that was a big issue at that time, was, you know, all of a sudden they were basically, like, I was supposed to play midget hockey the first year of its existence, but I ended up playing for the 73. So they were worried about that factor coming in, that maybe the midget team wasn't going to be good. But I mean, the issue was, it gave other kids opportunities to kind of play on the travel and under the midget and thing. And Mark Miller, who I mentioned earlier, you know, him and I were, you know, quartered to play for the 73s, and I enjoyed it. I mean, the next year, Mark went on and played for the Spitfires, the Tier 2 team at that time in Windsor. But I stayed in Essex, and I was hoping to get a hockey scholarship down in the States, and I needed to improve my grades quite a bit to kind of get that, because I was the kid that was going to go play major junior. And we had a new guidance counselor, Kim, coming into Essex High, and Larry Lovisoto out of Leamington, and he got Chris Maneri into Michigan. So all of a sudden, that whole college opportunity opened up for me. So I stayed at home, and that year, Keith played too. So so I think Keith was, you know, rookie of the year in the league, and I think I was the MVP of the league, and we ended up winning the All-Ontario Championships. And the nice thing about it was, that time it was all Essex kids that really came up through the Essex minor hockey program. And I think we, at that time, we could only have like one import or two imports that did not live in the vicinity of the Essex town line or whatever. So that was the nice thing too, is like all the kids, whether you played baseball with them or hockey over the years, and it became a nice small town type thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, and it still is. I mean, they're killing it right now. The 73s are a good team. So that's, you know, the foundation of the organization, I guess, all the way back to your days.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, obviously it's called the 73s because that's the first year it started. So, you know, 73, 74, we had, I think we ended up number one in the regular season, but then Leamington swept us at that time. And then the next year we just rolled, you know, right through to the All-Ontario championships. And I mean, I can still, one of my fondest memories of board, living in Essex and playing for the 73s, I mean, we built beat the team Lindsay in the seventh game at the old Essex Arena, and that place was packed. There's, mm-hmm. you know, probably 2,000 people in there, and I was fortunate enough to score the winning goal with like 78 seconds to go in the game, in the seventh game, and, you know, assisted by my brother Keith and another guy who played for us, Lenny Chittle. And he's the all-time leading scorer in Mitchell's history. So he was a heck of a hockey player, too.
Yeah, man, that's some cool history. Again, it gave kids a place to play, gave players a place to play, and it gave the town something to do. You know, obviously, like I said, those first couple of years were probably a lot of talk around the town.
Yeah, no, it definitely was, because it was new, and then not only was it new, but we were having success at it too. So, you know, obviously solves a lot of problems when you're winning, right?
So, best of both worlds. I mean, and like you mentioned, you know, trying to improve your grades and stuff like that to get that college scholarship. And you did. You were successful, you know, even playing at that level. How did it kind of go down for you? How did you get recruited to New Hampshire, where, you know, still to this day you're residing?
What happened was Larry Lovasoto, the guidance count, he sent out letters to a bunch of teams all over the United States. And there was this guy from the University of New Hampshire, Bob Norton, who was, you know, the recruiter, and he basically came to see me play, and the interesting thing was right up until almost August, I didn't know where I was going, and what happened was nobody really had a spot for me, or I wasn't getting any opportunities, but at the last moment, there was a kid on the U.S. Olympic team by the name of Bobby Miller, who made the Olympic team as a sophomore. So that opened up a spot for me, and Bob Norton came after me to fill it. So it was really kind of I got the notice, and a week later I was going on the way to New Hampshire. If that didn't happen, I was actually going to go back and play for the Kingston Canadians at that time, who had a year earlier in the OHL.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know, obviously everyone's got a different path and a different route to where they end up. So, again, just throwing your name in the hat and seeing who came calling, and obviously ended up there, spent a few years there. And that's where you were actually drafted to the Flyers. So do you remember kind of that feeling when you found out? Were you surprised or what?
I was elated. I mean, obviously, I didn't. I mean, it's not like it is now with the media and the social media and, you know, kids, you know, thinking they're going to get drafted. I mean, it was the fact that I was drafted was a bit of a surprise because it just wasn't, you know, out there. And at that time, Mark Miller, who was at Michigan, him and I both got drafted that day. So we kind of went out and celebrated and stuff. But I mean, it was definitely a surprise. I mean, I went in the ninth round, but I think I was their 14th pick. They picked 21 guys. So, I mean, mm-hmm. they were just in different rules back then too.
Yeah.
So, I knew at that time, I mean, it was 20 years old, the draft. It wasn't like it is now either, 18, but I ended up, playing two more years of, college.
Yeah.
The other neat thing is that I was actually drafted into the WHA.
I was just going to ask that too. Cowboy. Yeah.
So, I think they folded the next that summer. But,
okay. Well, I guess that made your decision easy.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. It's not like I know that much. There never was. Yeah. So, So I mean, it was a fun, exciting time of my life. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, again, like at that time, you could probably count the number of players from Windsor area drafted on two hands, right? So it's not like something that happened super often. And again, something else I was going to mention too was the WHL. I was going to ask if you had to make a decision, or sorry, WHA, if you had to make a decision to go one way or the other. But again, I guess that made it very easy for you.
Yeah, no, I think that would have been. was it, the summer of 77? So I think that's the year that the NHL ended up absorbing, I believe, four of the WHA teams into the NHL.
Yeah.
And, you know, it changed a lot. And then I think a year later, 2 years later, they went from a 20-year-old draft to an 18-year-old draft. I know my brother Keith, I mean, he was, you know, believing he was supposed to go in the late first round back then. But they moved down to 18. So now they had that whole pool of 18, 19, 20-year-olds that they could draft. So, I mean, it kind of bumped Keith. I think he ended up going in the third round to Boston at that time.
Yeah, different time for sure. It's crazy to think back or look back because of what we're used to now, right? So it's cool to do these interviews and tell these stories. And speaking of which, we'll talk about a team that a lot of people might not have heard of. You were drafted to Philly, but you didn't actually end up playing there, but you did play for the AHL's Maine Mariners. So that would have been like your first introduction to pro hockey, right?
Yeah, that was my first... I graduated from UNH, and then I went to try out for the Flyers. I mean, there was no contract or nothing. I mean, I had to try to win a contract. I mean, I never signed my first pro contract until, you know, the Saturday morning of the first game of the Maine Mariners. And it was, you know, I didn't have an agent. And it was like somebody said, well, you want to get an agent? And I ended up just going with the one Keith had. But those are the things. I mean, now kids are getting agents at, you know, grade nine, you know, 13-year-olds and stuff. So, but it was all, yeah, I mean, the contract I signed was, you know, if I played in the NHL, I was going to get $50,000. In the minors, I got $15,000 salary. I joke around with this is that, I mean, they had all these bonuses put into my first contract that I tell people it's like when I called my dad and told him I signed him a contract and I said I got this bonus and that bonus and I said one of my bonuses was that if I was the NHL Rookie of the Year I was going to get $500 right so I could just picture my dad, and I'm all excited because I'm a naive kid and all that kind of stuff, and I can just picture my dad hanging up the phone and going, you know, that NHL Rookie of the Year for $500, that ain't going to happen, you know, but they would just put any type of non-obtainable loss in the contracts or bonuses because, you know, they could. I mean, it wasn't going to be any money off of the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah.
They knew I was going to win it, right?
So, yeah. So, like we were saying, like, I guess it was kind of like your first quote-unquote entry-level deal, not that they really did that back then, but played it 2 years or about a year and a half with Maine and then signed with Boston in 81. So, kind of, you know, how did that go over? I mean, obviously showed your worth in the minors and earned that pro contract.
Yeah, the way the contract was written, I had a 1 year and an option when I signed my original contract. And so what happened was after my first year, I was a little hurt here and there. And I think I had, I don't know, 16 goals or something. I can't remember what the hell it was. But Flyers then signed me to a termination contract. Which meant that I was going to play out that contract, and at the end of it, I was going to be a free agent. Well, I mean, I don't think they had a lot of hopes on it, but anyways, that ended up making the Mariners again. I think I had 25 goals in the regular season. And in the playoffs, we went to the Calder Cup finals. We ended up losing the finals in six games. But I ended up leading the league in playoff goals that year, and I had a couple of overtime goals, so I really had a good playoff for the Mariners at that time. So being a free agent, I had like four teams that were interested in me, so I basically signed with Boston. They looked like on the depth chart that was probably the best opportunity for me. It was going to be fun to play with my brother. So that's how I got to Boston.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to mention, I mean, obviously playing with your brother had to been cool. I mean, you guys are playing with some great players as well. We can name them, but to play with your brother in the NHL after, you know, playing junior all those years had to have been really cool.
Kind of interesting because, I mean, you know, I went the college route, and, you know, Keith ended up going the OHL route. I mean, he was actually supposed to go to University of Michigan. So, I mean, he was like the fifth pick in the OHL draft as a minor midget back then, to Oshawa. And he didn't even go to camp because he said, I'm going to go take a scholarship. And the following that year, he ended up playing for the Essex 73s again. And then he went to Michigan, went to orientation. Peter O'Peets ended up, just picking him like in the seventh or eighth round just in case. And I guess Keith went over to orientation. Michigan didn't like it, called Pete's, and that's how he got there. So we went two different routes, but us both to kind of get back into the NHL on the same team. It was fun. It made it easier for the family on who to root for, that's for sure.
Yeah, and travel down to games and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, like I said, it's always good, like, when you go into a new team or anywhere to know somebody, right? To know someone that you played with before. And, again, like you said, it was the guy you shared a room with.
Right. Yeah.
So, made it a lot comfortable.
I got to know some of the guys just because Keith was in Boston the year before I got there. So,
yeah.
I mean, he lived with Ray Bourque for his first couple of years. So, I mean, I got to know some of these guys. Before I even showed up there, which was nice.
Yeah, that's so true. Actually, yeah, I never thought of that. And then, you know, again, it was your first NHL team. You know, when you signed that pro contract, you're pretty much a full time NHLer from there on out, playing with, again, like you said, Ray Bourque, Mike Milbury, Terry O'Reilly, lots of legends on those Boston teams.
Yeah, I mean, the one year we had a hell of a year. I mean, we probably should have won.
Yeah, and good team, really good team.
And we went 50-20-10 in an 80 game season, and that was, yeah. I mean, we were the best team in the regular season, and what happened was, I mean, they kind of ran us a little too hard to be the best team in the regular season because we ran into a lot of, probably the last 10 games of the season, we took some pretty good hits injury wise. You know, like everybody from, you know, Keith was banged up to Terry O'Reilly was banged up. You know, Mike Milbury was banged up. We had Brad Park playing for us at the time. And it just, I mean, it should have been, but that wasn't what was happening back then. I mean, now guys are rested and they're taking maintenance days, as they call it. And, you know, we probably should have, you know, I mean, Ray Bourque was, you know, after 80 games, I mean, he was putting in, you know, 20 minutes of a game, you know, kind of thing. And it wasn't, the other thing back then, people don't realize either, is that a lot of our games weren't on TV, and there wasn't a TV timeout. So I always look at, they talk about Char or any of these guys who put in a lot of ice time. Well, you know, they had a shift, they're out there for a minute, and then there's a TV timeout. Well, that's another minute of rest, a minute and a half, and so they stay out, right? So they've already had their rest on the bench. It just happened to be a TV commercial. So you see these guys that are talking 23 minutes and that kind of stuff. That was guys that were doing 23 minutes back in the late, early 80s and through the 80s and 90s. I mean, they were putting in legitimate 23 minutes.
Yeah, nonstop. I think, I'm sure you'll agree, I think it's just so hard to compare, like, today's game to your era or before, of course. It's just, they're almost totally different.
They are, and you know, the mindset's different. You know, I think they're a lot better athletes than when I played, I mean, across the board. I just think the science of it has come into it. what they should be eating and doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd have a practice and we'd go over to the local bar and drink beer all afternoon and then, you know, go home. I mean, now they've got, you know, they've got kitchens in the locker rooms and they're feeding these guys breakfast, they're feeding them the lunch. My guess, the guys that aren't married, they're probably taking the left home, so they're probably eating better than we ever did.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, that whole science is out there now. And all the stuff they do to you know, the skill sets and things like that. I mean, I'm amazed at some of the players in this day and age. Their eye-hand coordination is just fantastic.
Yeah, everything is like the culture has changed and everything, like you said. But it is what it is, I guess. Hey, and I mean, you had a good run as it was, no matter what. Just to be able to do it, right? No matter where, when, how. You got to play in the show, right? And wrapped it up in Pittsburgh, claimed off waivers, go over there. Not as good as a team as Boston that you came from, but you got to play with Mario and some other Windsor guys like Pat Boutette and Rick Kehoe too.
Yep. Ricky was there and Pat, and they're good guys. And I mean, they at that time, the Penguins were just total disarray. Yeah. They basically threw the season the year before. So they could get the Mario Lemieux in the draft. It was something crazy. They had like, what year? That would have been, you know, 83, 84, I guess. Yeah, 83, 84. They had something like 50 different guys in a Pittsburgh uniform that year.
Yeah, it's
so
a long list.
They were... There were some issues going, but I mean, obviously Lemieux was, and again, we didn't have the social media back then either. I mean, whatever we read about Lemieux was coming out of the hockey news, right?
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, you weren't going online to see what the hell the Montreal Gazette was talking about. This kid Lemieux didn't figure it out. I mean, as the story goes, I mean, I got picked up in the waiver draft and Eddie Johnson was the GM there. He got me, I mean, a lot of it because the Boston connection, and I was coming off some pretty good teams, and I was coming off a bad year that didn't give me another shot kind of thing. And I mean, he came up to me because my wife's French. She goes, he asked me, he goes, hey, you want to have, we got this kid Lemieux. I mean, we're looking for to put him with somebody because we don't want an 18-year-old kid just into, you know, living in the city of Pittsburgh. He just didn't speak a bit of English when he came. He goes, do you want to bring him in? I said, have him live with you. I said, well, let me go ask the wife. So I go ask her. It's like, Eddie Johnson wants to know if Lemieux can live with us this year. No way. That's not happening. So, I mean, my career probably would have lasted about another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, it would have been a good guy to have on your side, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That's hilarious. But hey, you know, these things are like, you know, what could have been, and you know, who would have known kind of thing, right? So it's cool to hear this stuff, man. What's that?
Yeah. No, I mean it's interesting stories from the days gone by. I mean, even to the point, you know, I mean, back then there was only 21 teams, right? I mean, that's, you think of all the jobs that are out there now. And again, I mean, we didn't have the Europeans were just starting to make a presence for the most part in the NHL, and the Stastnys, you know, defected from Czechoslovakia, and the Russians were trying to get over and all that kind of stuff. So I mean, the game was really, really starting to change in that time period.
Oh, absolutely. By the end of the decade, right? Like by the 90s, the momentum had shifted for sure.
Yeah.
But like you kept rolling in hockey for a little bit. You had a long coaching career after that, coaching at the college level for many years. So, I mean, I feel like you wanted to stay involved, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think sometimes it's you know, I always thought I'd like to go back to the college environment, coaching that. And I was lucky enough to do that. I started at Maine, and we kind of helped build that program over the years, and then I got the opportunity to be my own head coach at UMass Lowell, and then you know, then I was courted to go to, over to Northeastern, and wasn't as successful there. And then, yeah, so, I mean, it was like 19 years in college, and then I ended up going to Anaheim, helping out with them back in Portland, Maine, where the Maine Mariners played. Yeah. Down there called the Portland Pirates.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was, I enjoyed that. I was an assistant coach there for a couple of years. And then, in 07, Anaheim won the Stanley Cup. And at that same time, a buddy of mine came to me and said, you know, hey, I've got this big expansion going in this medical device sales that he owned. And, Anaheim had just won the Stanley Cup, and I tell people it was like the Price is Right. I mean, they gave me a Stanley Cup ring, so it was a lovely parting gift, and then I moved on to sales 12 years. So wow. My wife was kind of getting a little sick of the coaching because it's really demanding, and my kids are grown, and, you know, she's at home Friday, Saturday nights, you know, looking at herself kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it was a good move.
No doubt. No doubt, man. You kept it like kind of close to home too. Like you said, you went back to the college level where you had played, and then in that same kind of sense, you know, the Maine Mariners had became the Portland Pirates. So, like, in a way, you went back to coach another team that you played for.
Yeah, it's kind of my whole career was kind of full circle. I mean, in the college game. You know, my first game was at UNH. My last game coaching college was at UNH. My first pro experience was in Portland, and then my last pro experience was in Portland. So, you know, I was very comfortable at that time to kind of hang it up and move on. And I mean, I see a lot of people sometimes just keep holding on. And you know, when I made the switch to get into sales, I mean, I was 50 years old, and it was like, hey, you know, I'm never going to make a change here. It's probably now when I need to learn something, and you know, but I love the sales. I mean, I was successful at it, and you know, the money was good, and I ended up helping a lot of young kids out because I managed, I always called them my kids, but I always managed a bunch of, you know, early 20 year olds kind of thing, 25, 26, 27 year olds. So
just like coaching,
it was a crossover. All the years I recruited and evaluated talent, I mean, that was the biggest thing that I brought to the sales game, was I could know when a guy was bullshitting me, and I know when a guy was, you know, if he was going to do something. So so all that was a positive. So.
Yeah. Well, looks like you went on to begin a whole new life, and then, like you said, now just kind of living that everyday normal life, you know, out in New Hampshire. What's your brother up to nowadays?
He's got a place in Tecumseh. He also has a place in Kingsville. He was in the Tim Horton Donut franchise. He had that for, God, I don't know, like 25 when he first got out of hockey. So he just sold those off, like 3 weeks ago. So he's probably trying to figure out retirement too.
Yeah.
What he's going to do.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's cool, man. It's cool to talk about these kind of things and tell your story. And before we wrap it up, we'll ask, you know, when's the last time that you've even been down to Essex or the Windsor area?
I was actually there the first week in October. Ended up, my other brother Don lives in Tecumseh, but I had to go back for some unfortunate business. My sister was passing away, and I saw her, and she has since passed. And my buddy, hey, Greg, great buddy of mine, and he actually lost his daughter to an aneurysm. So it was not a lot of shits and giggles going kind of thing. But I try to get back, and I got a lot of good friends there. I was supposed to come home. My buddy Kevin Flood has like 17 tickets to the Lions, and the Halloween weekend, we were all the high school guys were going to go to the game, but the borders hadn't opened up yet and everything with the COVID. So, I try to stay in touch, and a lot of people back home that are still very, very special to me. So,
oh, that's cool, man. That's really cool. It's cool to hear, you know, keeping ties to where you're from. So, thanks a lot for taking the time to do this, man.
I appreciate it.
Huge thanks to Bruce Crowder and the Boston Bruins alumni organization for taking the time to do that interview and for setting it up. As much as I might be a big Toronto Maple Leafs fan and normally would say I do not like the Boston Bruins, I will have to really thank their alumni organization for hooking me up with Bruce Crowder, and as well as 2 years ago, Bruce Shoebottom. So a couple Bruces through the Boston Bruins Alumni Association. Again, thanks to Bruce for taking the time to do it. He obviously agreed to do some back home media, and it was cool to hear that obviously he still comes down and his brother Keith is still around. Want to have him on the show. We were talking about, well, I talked to some others about doing it with him, and hopefully we'll get that one done in the future. Now we got Bruce on, we got a good in, so hopefully that will be done soon. But that interview was brought to you by Amherstburg Chevy Buick GMC. Located on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg, they're proud to serve drivers all throughout South Amherstburg, Windsor, Kingsville, and LaSalle areas. And the end of the year is approaching, the holidays are approaching, and the holiday countdown event is on now. Reserve yours today. And they help you with everything down there at Amherstburg Chevy. That includes assistance with picking out new rides, financing it, and keeping it top quality condition. It's almost new car season, so if you're looking for a new vehicle, be sure to check out Amherstburg Chevrolet Buick GMC on Sandwich Street South in Amherstburg. Tell them the Wind City Sports Podcast sent you. Be sure to check out AmherstburgGM.com, too, to view their entire showroom. And big shout out to Amherstburg Chevy, too, for being our official sponsor of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Very thankful this week on Wind City Sports. But yeah, let's talk about some other local sports news that we might have missed in the last week. A lot of stuff about our Windsor Lancers, and that's pretty much it. I mean, it was a little bit of a quiet week, at least for big news, so just things rolling like normal. Things are back, games are back, so we're staying busy, and let's talk about some Lancer sports to kick things off. We'll keep the hockey talk going, though, and talk about our Windsor Lancers men's and women's hockey teams, both picking up wins over Western this week. 6-3 final for the men's team, all going down Saturday night at the Capri Pizza Center. Quite a dominating win over a good club in the Western Mustangs. Up next, Windsor will close out the first half of the season on Saturday, December 4th, when they head up to Waterloo to face the Warriors for the fourth time this season. Game time is scheduled for 4 p.m. and can be seen live on OUA.TV. And the women's hockey team picking up an overtime win over Laurier on Saturday. Alyssa Benjamin scored 2 goals for the Blue and Gold and the game winner in overtime, while Holly Borette made 29 saves out of 31 shots total on goal. Up next for the women, they will close out their first half of the season for 2021 this Saturday as well as they take on the Brock Badgers. Game time is set for 5:15 p.m. in Guelph, and you can watch it on OUA.TV. In basketball news, Toloi Smith and Thomas Kennedy are on fire for our men's basketball team, the Blue and Gold Lancers team. Last defeating Laurier on Saturday night in Laurier with a final score of 90-84. These two together put up 30 points for Simon and 14 rebounds and 26 for Kennedy and 5 rebounds. So some huge numbers coming out of them. Kennedy coming from a huge athletic and basketball background. He's quite the athlete, and he's doing well for himself here in Windsor. Up next, they're going to be on a little bit of a break for the holidays, returning on January 12th when they play McMaster in Hamilton at 8 p.m. on January the 12th. And the women's team fell just short to Laurier on Saturday with a 56-50 final. They will also be taking a break until they head up with the men's team to Hamilton to play McMaster on January 12th. And also to wrap it up for the beginning of the sports season for 2021, the track and field team will be hosting the Blue and Gold meet this Tuesday, tomorrow, November 30th. And they come back for the Can-Am meet on January 7th in the new year. A lot of St. Clair Saints athletics wrapping it up this past Saturday as well, as the women's volleyball team, they won against Redeemer 3-0, while the men's team lost 3-0 on Saturday. That was one of our final games of 2021. They also had played the night before. And before we wrap it up, we have some local county boys killing it out in the CFL, becoming all-stars for the 2021 season. Essex native Brandon Revenberg and Bell River native Drew DeJarlis have been named CFL All-Stars for this year. 28-year-old Revenberg, who plays for the Ticats, it marked the third consecutive season that he has been named an East Division All-Star. And 24-year-old DeJarlis, who is a University of Windsor product and as well as Grey Cup champion with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in just his second year as a pro as well. So some accolades going on out in the football world that we don't hear about a lot here in Windsor. But that is it this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. We're going to begin to wrap it up. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Monday with a brand new episode. We bring you interviews with local athletes, coaches, entrepreneurs, and so much more. Anyone in the sports world here in Windsor or beyond that, you know, maybe they stopped here for a little bit. Maybe they played here for some time. Maybe they're born here, raised here. Maybe they're doing their thing in Windsor. Tons of people can pop up on Wind City Sports, like Bruce Crowder or, you know, Melissa Bishop, like last week. So check out some of our archive episodes if you like this. We have over, obviously, 230 episodes available to listen. They always will be telling stories of people in Windsor, from Windsor. So check out some previous episodes and share and tell your friends, tell your family, share it on social media, send it to your friends, DM it, use the little Instagram thing and DM the post. Like, spread the word of Wind City Sports in Windsor. 5 years going strong. We're available anywhere podcasts are found, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Available on every social media at WinCity_sports on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and our Wind City Sports YouTube channel. So give us a subscribe, like, follow, whatever it may be and whatever you like to use. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at Drake DeMore. But until next time, smell you later.